Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. And it's not something, don't get the idea that just because you're not doing very well at this, that it's a terrible disaster, because it's what Christians have battled ever since day one. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 is our memory verse. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He wouldn't have said that if there wasn't already a struggle. So Paul knew the Christians in this region of modern-day Turkey called Galatia, they were having trouble with getting trapped, getting entangled. And I'd like to help you get a victory over falling, okay? And I call it, I don't have a great title for this morning's, the titles don't matter, amen, I just want to try to focus you, but it's how to stay free, okay? And I don't believe that I could give you a month of messages on how to stay free and actually deal with all the different issues. So pray for me that this will be a help as I have prayed for you this morning. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. And a very powerful set of verses. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4. Back just a few pages. And that because of false brethren. You know, there are a lot of fakers out there, aren't there? Amen. There are a lot of people who claim to be your friend. And really, they're not interested in your friendship. They're interested in your money. They're interested in your girlfriend. They're interested in your you know, making fun of you. I had some friends who their greatest joy was watching me mess up. Amen? Real good friends. These are false brethren here. And he says, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in. You didn't know that they had snuck in. Who came privily, we would say, privately. They came in clandestinely. They came in, you know, without notice. Came in privily to spy out our what? What's the next word? They came to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. You ought to underline that, amen. We have a liberty that's in Christ Jesus, and they do it that they might bring us into what? Bondage. I love how Paul says this, to whom we gave place by subjection, meaning to whom we submitted to. No, not for an hour. We never gave them an ounce of our attention or of our time. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know what Paul realized? Paul realized that if he fell, a whole lot of people would fall. Amen? He said, I didn't buy this false gospel, this false feeling, this false liberty. I have liberty. Amen? You see, the other religions come out there and they say, we offer you this, we offer you that. And it's almost on the basis like a business where they're, I had the word there, where they're competing. It's almost like competition. But it's fake if it's not Christ. We have liberty. You could be in jail and be more free than anybody on this planet, amen, if you're in Christ. You could be in a hospital, in an oxygen tent, and be free.
Yeah.
So, just a verse of warning there. A very powerful one. Now, let me talk about the fact that Christians are free. I think I read in my Bible that we're free. Amen? Amen? We still have to pay our bills. Amen? But we're free. The Bible word is redeemed. Fully paid for. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to Satan. We no longer are slaves to demonic attack and to fear or to any kind of bondage. And truly, Christ has not set us free. What is the word that the Bible uses? He has made us free. There's one thing where, you know, the devil wants you to believe you're set free. Because you can let something free and then go and get it again and put it back in bondage. Amen? But Jesus has made us free. And the only person that puts you back under bondage is no longer Satan. Are you listening? Who's the one that ends up back? If you ever seen these birds in a cage, you open that cage door, they go flying around, they're free. Amen? But can you imagine some bird saying, I missed the cage? And there are a lot of Christians who say, I missed the drink. I missed the late night television porn. I missed the old friends. I missed the fun and the challenge of living on the edge. And they're right back in the bondage. Amen? Now, when the Bible talks about free, he's talking about not being able to live as we please. See, a lot of people in the Western world, we don't understand the concept of freedom. We think, I can live any way I want. Oh, yeah? Try and drive like you want. You'll be dead. Amen? People think that, well, I'm free. I can worship any way I want. I can read any Bible I want. I don't even have to read the Bible. I don't have to pray. I can do whatever I want. And you wonder why those people are struggling with sanity and why they die early. You're not free to live as you please, but you're free. This is the truth. You are free from the powers that used to control your life. That's freedom. And the reality is you've chosen somebody else to take control. Amen? You know, it's a sad, sad joke. I use it because the world laughs at us. Hold that there. It's a sad joke when the world can see Christians who are saved, but they're living in bondage to sin still. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2. Second book in your Old Testament, Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. And one, if not the greatest, lessons on bondage and freedom are the Israelites when they were in Egypt and when they came out and how they came out and why they came out. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23, the Bible says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Now, up until that time, they had the good life. And you know this. You start messing around with the world and you know what's going to happen? You're going to have fun. Friends are going to welcome you back. The fun that you thought you were missing and living in the world, and Egypt's a great picture, a great illustration of the world. They're in the world and things are going great. But look at the next part of the verse. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed now by reason of the what? Ah. God of this world only wants one thing, and that is to lure you, tempting you with a carrot, but never giving you the carrot. I always feel bad for those dogs on the racetrack. Those dumb dogs. They'll chase that stupid rabbit every day, but they never get it. Amen? And there are a lot of people in this room who are running after a stupid rabbit, and you haven't figured it out. Duh, I'm not going to get it. And these people, the devil lured them down into and brought them into Canaan land. I'm sorry, out of Canaan land, out of the promised land, down into Egypt. And they turned into, what's the word? They sighed by reason of the, another word for bondage is slavery. And they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. It's a sad thing when the world can see a Christian stuck back in the world. Any time that you sense the pull back into the world and back into sin, I want you to know as a Christian. Now, I'll talk to everybody this morning. I'll talk to you if you're not saved. I'll talk to you in a few minutes. But if you're saved, any time that pull gets there, you need to be able to say, I am free. That offers me nothing more. Anything the world says, oh, we have a new light beer. You know? We have new ultra ultra cigarettes that have, they're low in tar, you know, it's more healthy. It's like stupid. It's like, you know, this cigarette's more healthy for you than this cigarette. Excuse me. Do you understand what I'm saying? They'll come along and they'll say, this is what you need. And you look, I'm already free. Amen. Those are powerful words. You're going to have to, and I read this just this morning, we listen too much to our head. You need to start talking to yourself. There's a verse there. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. There's a verse there in Psalms. David said, think it was Psalm 104, maybe 107. No, somewhere around in there in the hundreds. And David's there and he's saying, this poor man cried. And he says, I was troubled. And then he says, why art thou disquieted? Why are you upset? Trust in God. He's talking to himself. Amen. And that's what we got to stop listening to the feelings and start rebuking ourselves and start saying some things that are true. I am free. I'm already free. Christ hath made us free. That's the Bible. Amen. How many believe the Bible? But how many of you use it? Someone or something has lied to you and tricked you into going back into slavery. Slavery, by the way, this is the 21st century. There's no such thing as slavery today. I'm afraid in this modern 21st century, we think we've eradicated slavery, and yet I look around and most people are in the bondage of sin. They are more a slave than the African slaves stuck in a slave ship on their way over to, up to England or over to America. People are more enslaved than those poor souls. Those guys had hope. And I'm looking around a lot of people who have no hope. Let's talk about the background of Galatians 5:1. When Paul is writing Galatians, he's saying that there is no fight to become free. Can you understand that? He doesn't say that a Christian needs to start fighting to get free. You are free. Do you understand? Nobody needs to fight to become free, to become a Christian. How many of you earned the right to go to heaven? Anybody in here earned the right to go to heaven? Not at all. Amen. There's no earning. There's no fighting to become free. It is a reality that is already true. It's like somebody who has all their life never had two pennies to rub together. And an uncle or an aunt or somebody deposits in their bank account €1 million. And they just go right on living, eating beans and toast. Man, I'd get some good beans, amen? You understand? Goodness. And that woman always worrying about, I'm using a widow there, and that woman living from day to day wondering, am I going to starve? Is it going to be heat? Can I afford coal? Can I buy milk? And not realize there's €1 million in that bank account and it's there for her. Now you can live like you're dirt poor, or you can start to live like a child of the King. Amen? Amen. And we're living like prisoners. You understand? Like we're still enslaved. I can't defeat this. I can't get rid of that. I found out God doesn't have the word can't. Amen? He's got some things where he won't. He says, your sins and your iniquities, I will not remember anymore. And I don't think God has the word can't in his vocabulary. Amen? God's word says that a Christian is not fighting to become free, but we got to fight to stay free. Somebody says, what are you talking about by being enslaved? Look at how much money you spend on prescription drugs. I'm not just dealing with toothaches, man. I'm dealing with prescription drugs that help people go to sleep, help people wake up, help people eat, help people stop eating. Talking about the drugs that pull you up, pull you down, and all of these things. Look at the amount of money. Now, I don't mean that all of them are bad. I'm just telling you, the amount of money that's spent on it, the amount of money that's spent on self-help programs make you feel better about yourself, how to forgive yourself, how to love yourself. You know what some people need? They just need to be loved. They didn't realize there's somebody that does love them unconditionally. And there's one good thing about a church and a Bible-believing church is we love one another. Amen? And a place like this can change a nation. Because no drug can give you what you find when you come here. Amen? There are people who spend money on yoga classes, meditation sessions. They're trying to get people to get free from the stark reality of the bondage that they're in. The simple truth is, God says that Christ has made us free. God uses the word stand fast to describe the effort on our part. Stand fast. Stand fast against what? You know, the devil doesn't rest. Your flesh will always want to sin. Did you know that? You will always love chocolate. Amen? I'm finding out the older I get, my flesh loves chocolate, but my body doesn't like it much anymore. Do you understand? Amen? My flesh will always love to sin. Amen? I'm going to have to realize this thing's never going to get right. Amen? Did you know the devil never gives up? He never takes a holiday. Amen? Stinking. Wrong. Amen? Take a holiday, will you, devil? Amen? Leave me alone. But the devil doesn't give up. Your flesh will always want to sin. The world will never be a safe place. Somebody says, well, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, we could walk downtown. The world has never been perfectly safe, has it? They had their own problems back then. We got new problems now, yes. I think it's much worse now. But the old days, the good old days, were never all that good. We just forget some of the stuff, amen? A Christian has to learn how to stay clear of traps, not only by the trick of the devil, but what does Jeremiah 17:9 say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately, I love that word, wicked. So what's my most prone problem? My heart. You got to realize, I'm supposed to stand fast against what my heart tells me. And when you're trying to do that, it's like trying to do it in the middle of a storm. Amen? I like that picture. Amen? Goodness. When he says stand fast, it's like the captain of a ship. Everybody else is batting down the hatches and hit the floorboard, gone down under. And that captain's up there and he's holding that keel up there and the ship's going to topple over. He's turning into the waves trying to keep that thing upright. And you got to realize your life's just like that. You can't control the storms. You can't control the troubles. You can't control the pressures. But you can control your direction. Amen? You choose whether you fall and fall and fall. And thank God, God knows you're going to fall. But you choose whether you're going to fall or whether you're going to stand fast. Amen? Like that captain. Amen? You imagine that the captain of that airplane that went through the flock or two flocks of geese there, you know. When both engines shut down and were on fire, I'm sure he had a parachute nearby and could have said, well, this is a lost cause. Amen. Let me out of here. Amen. He could have just started screaming like a little girl. Ah, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. You know what he did? He stood fast, man. He activated the backup system. He pulled that thing into a low, gradual slowdown, extended the flaps. Without any forward thrust, he just got it. He says, there's water, and I'm going to bring her straight down in there. And landed it like a dream. Because he stood fast. Amen? And you thank God for a fighter like that. Amen. And you thank God for a husband like that. And you thank God for a wife like that. And you thank God for some friends like that. Amen? Who stand fast when the troubles come. I see a lot of Christians like that. Amen. That was lucky years ago. I see a lot of believers just like that. Amen. But you know what? I think that's a great picture because that's reality. And we got to just dig our heels in and says, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I like that, amen? At least he's in the ring, amen? You may laugh, you may, I'm not getting that ring. Hey, whether you like it or not, the moment you got saved, you're in the ring. And your enemy is smarter, wiser, sharper, more well-armed, more well-equipped. It is a nightmare. You're going to lose without his help, amen? So dig in. Get those heels in and go, come on. And just be faster, amen? Praise God. I like that. Praise God. I want to talk to you not about the recovery part. I want to talk about this wrestling part this morning. And let's open in prayer. Father, please teach us from your word. Help me help somebody this morning from this book of books and from this great angle on the Christian life, God. We weren't called to just go straight to heaven. We were called into a fight. And we weren't abandoned. We were given every bit of armor, every bit of strength that comes from grace. Lord, help us to believe that we are free and that we don't have to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But there are some people, maybe more than one or two in this room, who have a good facade, put on a good show. I'm glad they're here. But one of these days when the rapture calls, they won't be in heaven. One of these days when their eyes closes in death, maybe, they won't wake up in heaven because they've never been born again. Lord, I pray you'd scare them. Let them realize they've already lost. There's no hope of ever winning. All of their battles are for a lost cause until they realize the fight, the battle has already been won by Jesus Christ. And if they'd only trust Him and call out to His precious, wonderful, almighty name, He will save their lost soul and give them eternal life and give them the fight they need to win every battle and every storm. Bless your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The question is, are you free, and how much is that freedom worth keeping? Are you free? Now, if you're saved, tell me, yes or no, are you free? Amen. Amen. This is not psychobabble. You are free. Amen. You are made free by Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that you're out of debt. That doesn't mean that you can break off from your girlfriend, or not your girlfriend, but your wife. You ought to break off from your girlfriend or whatever. She's not saved, free or whatever. Sometimes you wonder, you know, some of these guys, and they got these claw marks around their neck. You wonder, man, what girlfriend have you got? Amen. You need to get free from all of those things by just being smart. But when Christ saved you and made you free, He didn't make you free from circumstances. He made you free from certain doom. He made you free from hell, and He made you free from the devil's grip. And the question is, how many of us miss that stupid grip? How many of us walk right back and say, I missed you, devil. I missed you, drug. I missed you, tan. Now, I think a lot of people are blind to the fact they are in bondage. Many times we don't realize just how enslaved we are. You know, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and they says, we are free. We're not slaves. And they were blind and they were in bondage. Amen. And there are many people, there are loads of people who have no idea just how lost they are. You know, it was true when we were lost. Before you got saved, you didn't really think you were that bad off, did you? Go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. There were very few people in this room who day after day you worried about your sin. Amen? You worried about, you know, normal things like when we're going to watch on TV. Where are you going to go on Friday? You didn't worry about your sin. You didn't worry about hell. Most of you didn't worry about such things because you didn't think you were that bad. Amen. And you were blind to just how lost you were. Now, Titus chapter 3 verse 3 says this. For we ourselves, and Paul puts them in there. He says, we. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, sometimes disobedient. Look at the next word. Deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. When you think of the word serving, I want you to understand this is not like going to a restaurant. Your dinner, sir. This is slavery. I am a servant. I am a slave to a whole load of lusts that are out of control in my mind and in my flesh. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice. What's malice? Ooh, that's not just anger. Everyone in this room gets angry, amen? Sometimes right, sometimes wrong. Malice is when you, this is what I'm going to do about it. That's where we go wrong, amen? Living in malice. Living at the place where we can't think of anything else except revenge. In living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. They're blind to it. Now I want to give you the next verse. It's not actually in the thing here, in my thought, but I just can't miss it. It says, but after the loving kindness, look at what it says, came. After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared. And it wasn't by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Amen. You know, before we were saved, we were a mess. After we're saved, we're still a mess, but we're forgiven. Amen. So blindness, we didn't know how deceived we were. We didn't know just how addicted we were, how enslaved we were to our lusts and our desire for pleasure. We lived in pleasure. We didn't realize it was only for a season. We followed the crowd. We didn't realize everybody was headed to destruction. Jesus gave the illustration of the wide road and the narrow road, didn't He? And He said, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to. And then He says, and many there be which go in thereat. In simple words, there's a lot headed that way. And when we're following the crowd, they're all going down. But you know, go to John chapter 8. Some of you had good parents. Some of you didn't. But you know, before you got saved, you were being parented by Satan himself. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Before you were saved, you didn't even know that Satan was your father. And what a scary thought. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus speaking to some of the most religious people you could ever meet. He says, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. You wonder, why do you do such a thing? Because you're just a puppet. He was a murderer. You say, how could such religious people end up murdering others? You ever hear of the Crusades? You ever hear of holy wars? How could religious people do? Because they're of their father, the... And he was a murderer from the beginning. You're going to murder just like him. He abode not in the truth, but because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, how could a religion lie and say, we never did this, or and cover up all of these sins? How could they do that? Tell me how. Because their father's a liar. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, and he's a liar, and he's a father of it. He's the source of all lies. You know, we were blind to our bondage. We were religious, but headed to hell. We thought we were doing our own thing, but we were only puppets of the devil. And it's true. Children who grow up, and any parent knows this, any kid who grows up fighting, arguing, full of hate, hurting one another, they usually are blind to just how bad they are. They don't realize just how bad they are. Amen? You always wonder about these parents who got these kids, and the kids are, you know, stabbing and clawing and fighting and punching and biting. Oh, little Johnny, you're such the best. You're the best boy. He is not. Amen? The kid doesn't know that he's wrong. He needs to be told. That's wrong. Amen? But if you leave him to himself, they'll think, this is normal. Did you know the same is true for adults? Most of us, we think, well, I'm pretty good. I go to church every once in a while. I'm pretty good because I'm not like so-and-so. You know what you need? You need somebody to tell you, you're not pretty good. Amen? Best thing that ever happened to you is sitting in church and somebody to stand over you and says, you're lost. You're not right with God. You need to be born again. Amen? You don't need a religion that comes along and says, you're the best boy. You don't need that. And yet that's what everybody thinks church is all about. There are a lot of people who are in bondage. I already said those things. There are a lot of people who are in bondage. They're enslaved and they don't even realize it. Here's a kid, he's a teenager, and he's sitting there smoking. That kid thinks, oh, I'm finally free from my dad's, you know, rules, and I'm doing what I want. And he doesn't realize 2 weeks later he can't give it up. Amen. There's a girl flaunting herself, trying to raise her skirt as high as possible, trying to walk around, trying to attract everybody's attention, and the one she gets is a scum bucket. And she finds out that he doesn't love her. She at first said, I got full power, I'm in control. And a couple months later, you just see it age her because there's no freedom. Amen? There are people who are in bondage and they don't even realize. Pride, you know how pride will blind us. I'm right, I'm right, I'm right! And no, you're blind. We don't even know we're blind. Hatred will blind us to the fact that there's potential murder lying right in front of us. right inside. Depression will blind us to the suicidal thoughts that rage inside of us. We're blind. And there's some things you ought to check in your life. You need to look at just how, you know, the Bible has a word for nervousness in the Bible. Are you ready for it? Fretful. Fretful. When you are full of anxiety and fretfulness, you need to check that thing. Because that's a little indicator that there's a problem deep in your heart. Because Christ gives us rest. He says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. He's not going to fix that. But He can fix your heart. Amen? Amen? Nervousness. Check that. How about checking the amount of time you spend complaining? Amen? Sitting there. You know, the Bible word for it is murmuring. And I read about 25,000 of them died because all they did was complain. Better check that little indicator telling you, I'm in bondage. I'm in bondage to a stinking bad attitude. You don't like it when your teenagers are constantly complaining. This again? We got to go there again? I have to go to bed now? You say, dear God, if I were only God for 30 seconds. And then they check the amount of time you stay away from your family and your responsibilities. You know what you're doing? You're running from a reality that you're in bondage. And you won't admit it. And you can't fix it. We talk about the burdens of bondage. There's so much in this Bible about slavery. People say, Christianity is all about slavery. It sure is. It sure is. It's how to get free. Let's take a Bible. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64. I heard last week that Brother Keith finished at noon. You know that'll never happen with me. Brother Keith, I hate you. But I love you. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64. The burdens of our bondage. You know, there's a high cost to modern slavery. And don't you think for a minute that I've never been enslaved. You sure have before you got saved and plenty of times after you got saved. And I want you to wrestle against that and not be brought back under the yoke of bondage. Deuteronomy 28, verse 64, God says this. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 28, verse 64. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people. Speaking of His people, He says, I'm going to scatter you all over the world from one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve. Circle the word serve as in become a servant, become a slave to. Thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. You'll even serve wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. The Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. Does that match our modern Western world? Look at that. Trembling heart. Just chock-a-block full of fear. Failing of eyes. Don't even want to look at the problem and try to face it. And a sorrow of mind. Verse 66, and thy life shall hang in what? You worry about dying every day before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night. Now, this gets good. Watch this. And thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning, thou shalt say, would God it were even. Oh, I just wish it was night again. And at even, thou wilt say, oh, would God it were in the morning. Just sitting there saying, I can't stand where I'm at. I can't wait for it to change and to become tomorrow. And then in the morning you say, oh, I can't wait to go back to bed. For fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. Hey, you better quit watching that television so much, because it'll scare you. You watch that television day after day after day after day, and you find out all the things going on with the economy, with the world, and Barack Obama saying it's worse and worse than I ever imagined. You know what you're going to start to think? It is worse. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter. They're not going to change your life. He will. I would rather get in charge with the real commander-in-chief, get close to the real person in charge, the commander-in-chief. Amen? They're just telling me what I already knew. They just keep saying it and keep offering false hopes. I think I'll get close to He who is hope. Amen? You got trouble? You better learn to pray. I've said this and I'll say it 100,000 times more. When you're in trouble, God's trying to get you on your knees. You better start there. If you're waiting for the government to fix it, if you're waiting for the banking system to fix it, you are waiting for the wrong crowd. Amen? Verse 68 says, "And the Lord shall bring thee back into Egypt again with ships. By the way, whereof I spake unto you when they came out, He said, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you." You will be worthless. And He's talking to His people, and nobody will want to. I want to say four things on this. Number one, spiritual bondage is strong. You may not have chains around your arms and around your neck like they used to have on the old slave ships, but you're just as much enslaved and unable to break free as they were. Amen. Spiritual bondage is strong. People find it impossible to get free from depression. People find it impossible to get free. I watch teenagers and they're addicted to their friends. They know that their friends are leading them to destruction, but they can't break. Amen. They realize, and they need to realize, spiritual bondage is strong. Just as real as a real literal chain around their head or arm or earring in their nose. God says when you live your life your own way, you are enslaved. You will serve other gods. You will be in bondage to other gods. Now, there are no other gods, are they? Are there? But a God here, listen, when the Bible talks about other gods, there's a God of this world and there's the God of heaven. Amen? But He's the only God. But when the Bible talks about gods, He talks about a strong force that's stronger than you. And you will end up giving yourself to a force that is stronger than you. But He is less in strength than God. And you said, this is a strong force. I can't fight it. And so you yield to it. When He is a strong force that you shouldn't fight and you should yield to. Do you understand? And God says, if you don't yield to Me, you're going to be their servants. You're going to be the servant of sin and sinful habits. You will have no rest. You ever find somebody who's, man, they have a problem in their life and they're back at church every morning. They're going through confession. They're having mass. They're in church every day of their life. And you know what? They have no rest. They're selling everything they've got. They're breaking themselves off from everybody. And they're just sitting there and they're falling apart. And they think that religion will make them free. But what they're doing is some of them will take a vow of celibacy and join the priesthood and go live in a monastery or in a nunnery. And what are they doing? They're serving another God. They're not free. There is no freedom there. You'll be consumed with fear and with sorrow. When you become enslaved by this world, you will live in fear and in sorrow. That's why I said check your complaining. Check your nervousness and fearfulness. You'll be full of regrets. You become enslaved by the world's pressures. You'll be in bondage to your fear. You'll be in bondage to Satan. The Bible says there in 2 Timothy, it says there are people who are taken captive at Satan's will. You know, the devil doesn't bother you all the time, aren't you glad? But you know, when he just comes and he taps on your shoulder and you immediately collapse and give in, that tells you something, doesn't it? Bondage to death itself. Look at Hebrews. Go to the right. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says this, for as much, Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, the children meaning normal humans, people, children of Israel particularly, but it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part. Who's the He who took part of flesh and blood? Jesus. God became flesh. that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Who's that? Listen, man, if you're not close with God, can I be real plain with you? You listening to Smina? Listen to Mona? Listen to Josh? You know who has the power to kill you? Not just God. He who had the power of death is the devil. What does your Bible say? Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Is not nibble. He kills. He's a killer. He's a murderer. And you've got to understand, the wages of sin is... And who's behind the one getting you to sin so that you die? Satan. You've got to realize that path that's going down and leading in another direction than God is calling, there is a way that seems right unto a man, Proverbs says, but the end thereof are the ends thereof are the ways of death. He says that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and verse 15 is the sweet part, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject, servants, slaves to bondage. It's nice to have your fears removed, amen? Even the fear of death. I mean, folks, you need to believe God. You need to settle this thing that your relationship with God so that when you approach What Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, the long march. He says, when you hit that last stretch, and the eyes dim, and you can't taste your food, and your body's wearing out, and you're facing death, if we should live so long, that you have no fear. Because to be absent with the body, from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Somebody needs to take away the fear of death and the bondage of that death. Some of you will end up back where you were before you got saved if you're not careful. I see too many people. I see people who get saved and they're sitting right there and they're in love with God and they got their Bible right there, but they never read it. And they ask for prayer requests, but they never take the prayer request home. And a few months later, you find out where they are. They're back in the same mess. Did they get saved? Oh, yeah. No doubt about their salvation. But they didn't fight to get saved, but they didn't put up a fight to stay free. And they ended up back where they were. And the question is, how much is your freedom worth to you? Are you willing to throw it all away because you get upset? Because things don't go right? Because everything collapses around you? I said a couple weeks ago, I said, my mansion in heaven hasn't devalued one penny. Amen? I'm still employed by the King of Kings. Amen? He can't fire me, amen? all of these things are the opposite of what God wants in your life. I listed all of that enslavement. God doesn't want any of that. And he just lets you go, man. We desperately need a way out. We need someone who will adopt us out of this cycle, amen? Pull us out of this cycle. Let's talk about the breaking of bondage. I want to show you a scripture, Psalm 107. I could take you anywhere, but this was a real sweet illustration here. Psalm 107. Is that where you were reading, brother? Joseph, you said, I think... Oh, you're 119. That's right. Psalm 107 in verse 8. 107 in verse 8. This is a real good command. You ought to circle verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Why? Why should I get so excited and praise God? Verse 9. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. I think the illustrations of somebody who's in bondage. Amen. Because they were, who got himself in trouble? They rebelled against the words of God. Amen. What do you say to your teenage son? Oh, yeah. You did it to yourself. You made your bed, now sleep in it. Amen. Well, God could have just said, yeah, and he did. He says, you rebelled, you rejected my word. But he started off, says, oh, that they would praise the Lord because he liberates those who long to be free. Look what he says. Verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned, they hated the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none other to help. Then they cried. That's why I said your trouble is probably to get you to cry out to God. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And I love it. No delay. And he saved them out of all their distresses. You need to mark that in your Bible. Amen. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he break their bands in sunder. That's an old word. It means in two. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. I think you're getting the picture now. Amen. For his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Keep going. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Not only did he break the chains around us, he broke the bars that were holding us in as well. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They don't want to eat. And they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word. That's all he needed to say. Amen. He just gave his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I think when God repeats something, it bears learning. Amen. The breaking. I'm glad God can break the chains of bondage. Last time I read my Bible, his name is God Almighty.
I don't think he can get me out of this problem.
I think he can. I like one word in my Bible that tells me just how far God can go. It says to the uttermost. Amen? That's a good word. The uttermost means the furthest away. To the person who's the lowest. Somebody said he can even go to the guttermost. Amen? Amen. That's a breaking of bondage. If you remember, in Romans chapter 6, we won't go there for time, it says, you are the servant to whom you obey. So your first problem was you are listening and obeying the wrong crowd. All you have to do is listen to and obey the right voice. Amen. You say, is that all there is to it? Yeah. Peter found out. It took a little while, but the more he followed Jesus, the freer he was. When he listened to his own heart and started being afraid, he went down in the water. When he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. When he listened to his own fears in his own heart, he cursed the name of Jesus. He turned his back on Jesus and he wept in shame. But when he heard Jesus was alive, he ran to him faster than John did. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There's something wonderful about just following Jesus. Amen. You know what a Christian is? A Christian is not perfect. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. That's all you are. If you're ever much, it's because he helped you follow him. If you follow Jesus, you are free. If you follow anything else, you're a slave. And I use that term very pointedly. A slave of the worst sort. See, I'm not that bad. I don't drink. I don't smoke. You're probably a slave of secret sins that nobody else knows about. Amen? Well, I don't play around with the field. I don't do anything that's really evil. If you're not doing what God told you to do, then you're in disobedience to God. And probably you're just not letting on that right now you've got no problems. But in about, I'll ask you in a month how good you're doing. Because you cannot live in disobedience to God without it killing you. Nobody's happy that way. How does Jesus make someone free? Again, I'm using the Bible picture language here. Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52, starting just verse 2 and 3. Isaiah 52, verse 2 says, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, as if at that before that they were crushed. And now you can sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. Just take the band off, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught. You sold yourself for nothing. Ha ha. Here's the truth. And ye shall be redeemed for nothing, or without money. Now, he doesn't say for nothing. Guess what you are redeemed with? What does 1 Peter chapter 1 say? Ye have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That'll break the bondage. You know what you don't realize? That blood is eternal. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, it's not in the ground, folks. Do you know where it is? Do you know what he said? I'll just give you a little Bible study thought for a moment. After his resurrection, he's standing around the tomb there. He had to wait because he's waiting for them to find out he's not there, not in the tomb. And there's Martha and the other ladies come up, and Martha wants to hug him. He says, touch me not. Amen? For I have not yet ascended to my Father. A couple of hours later, he walks through a solid door into the room with all the other disciples later that evening, on Sunday evening. And he says, touch me now. And they held on to him tight, amen. So between the time of his resurrection and the time that he was in the upper room with the disciples, he went somewhere. He went to his Father in heaven. You know what he did? He's the high priest. And the high priest could not go into the Holy of Holies without blood. I wonder where he got some blood from. Do you understand? Jesus, when he was dead, he didn't go to heaven. He said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in hell, right? No. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He went to the center of the earth where there are two halves back then. One's paradise, one was hell. They could see each other. And he went in there and he took them all captive and he took them home to heaven. Amen? But I'm giving you a Bible study. He had to go with his blood. He took his blood. I don't know how he gathered it up. He can do anything he wants. Amen? And he took it. And that blood is there at the throne of God waiting to cleanse you from any sin, any bondage, any trouble you get yourself in. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen? He makes you free. And when you found yourself in the dust and you found yourself defeated, you just look up to heaven and say, Lord, I want to be free again. I need that blood just to just flood out all of these wicked thoughts and all this stupid imagination, all of this past regret and sorrow and remorse. I'm sorry and I want to forsake it and I want to be free again. And he says, done. Stand up. Let's go. You don't need to pay any money. You don't need to buy it. You don't need to work it. Just get in it. Amen. A lot of Christians get discouraged and they won't get up. The Lord says the blood is still there. It's still there. God redeems any and all, no matter how far away or how lost, by the precious blood of His Son. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the remission of our sins, the removal of them. Now, the whole purpose of this marriage is to give you a couple of thoughts about how to build a barrier to that stupid bondage you keep finding yourself in. You want to put a wall so you don't, you know, you want to make it harder to go back into sin. Amen? That's my goal. Would you just want that? Say, Lord, I find it too easy to flip on that idiot box. I find it too easy for me to fall into sin. I find it too easy for me to pick up a can. I need to put a wall there. Amen? Heard about a guy who put a lock on his fridge. And he kept the key. Doesn't help. Amen? You need to figure a way to put a wall out. Let me talk to you about three things. Number one, you need new ownership. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, real quick. You need new ownership. You need to give Jesus Christ the right to be in charge of your life. He bought you, didn't he? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? What do you have in you? Which is in you. Yes, the Holy Spirit is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God not only in your spirit, but he starts off how? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which belong to God. Folks, according to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20, a Christian is not their own anymore. You don't own your life. You don't own your future. You don't own your money. You don't own your time. You don't even own your hair. It's his. When the Lord bought you, he bought everything about you. He bought all your debt. Amen? But he also bought everything about us. You're not your own. You need to decide, you know what? I'm not in charge anymore. Amen? I'm under new management. Amen? This body, top and bottom, belongs to God. Not to some harlot. Not to some porn show. Not to some friends or some alcohol or some drugs. This body belongs to him. Amen? Belongs to him. You're redeemed. You're a purchased possession of God. Do you know, in the big scheme of things, you didn't realize it. You're sitting there, you're selling yourself on the world market, and nobody wanted you. And up came somebody and says, I'll buy him. And the devil said, the price is blood. And the Lord said, I'll pay it. He didn't realize it, man. He did all that, and then the Lord came up and says, I paid your sin debt. And you know, before you got saved, you said, don't believe it. The Lord says, it's real. I did. Just talk to the master. It's all done. You can come home with me. No, I don't believe it. And there are people to this day who will go to hell not realizing Christ paid it all. See, what sends a man to hell? Not some sin, but the fact that he didn't allow for the reality and the truth that Christ paid it off. And they're still trying to pay it themselves. You're a purchased possession of God. You are owned. When I was in secondary school, actually when I was in primary, we played a game called Blood Ball. You ever hear that game? It was in a basketball court inside, and they had these red, very hard rubber balls, but they were bouncy. And there are two teams, and you line up against the wall, and each team was given you put balls in the middle. We played this with U Camp, by the way, so just it's okay. Well, you put balls in the middle of the field, and the two sides run up and try to grab these balls. And you have the opportunity to throw this ball at an opponent. And if you hit him, he comes onto your side. There's just something about me that everybody looks at and says, I own you, Ledbetter. That was not a good term. That meant they're going to get me and hurt me. But when the Lord says, I own you, it's because he wants to treat you as a son. Amen? He owns us. Owns us. You need to build on that relationship. You need to build on that ownership. You need to start believing God knows what's best. If God wants me in this place, at this time, without anything, then he knows what he's doing. Amen? He owns you. Build on that relationship. Follow his will for your life all the way. I'm sick and tired of Christians saying, man, I tried and it failed. Everything messes up. Well, there's no failure until you quit. If you don't quit, there's no failure. Amen? I tried in this relationship. I tried reading my Bible. You know what you did? You probably read four chapters and then gave up. Try and stay at it. Stay at this relationship. Realize I'm supposed to do it because God wants me to. Second thing you need. What's the first thing? Talk to me. New ownership. Second thing is new discipleship. Take your Bible now. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and John chapter 8. Matthew chapter 11 and John chapter 8. Start back in verse 28. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and what will he give us? I'll give you rest. You know that verse. We love those verses. Amen. Come unto me, Now that's salvation. But he doesn't stop there. He says, verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. The first time, you know, when I got saved, 15th of June, 1980, you know what I did? I just came to Christ. I was beat up, worn out. I was tired. John Cranford and my pastor, Jack Humbert, had made it so clear that I was lost. I was going to go to hell. All of a sudden, the reality starts hitting me and hit me hard. I'm no good. I can't be good enough. I can't weigh out the scales. I better do something about it. And all I had to do was come. Amen. I came to Christ and he gave me rest. But he also gave me something else. Next verse says, here's a yoke. I've already been saved. The yoke doesn't save you, does it? Do you understand? The yoke is something you take on after you get saved. Take my yoke upon you. And now what's the second thing? And learn of me. You need new discipleship. You got some bad habits. You got some bad way of thinking. Somebody says something to you and your instant remark is, that was hurtful. That was evil. That was against me. And they didn't mean anything by it. You're just so used to thinking that people are against you, you just judge them right off the top. Amen? And the Lord says, think these things now. Treat people this way. Learn how I react and you do the same. New discipleship. Quit falling Oprah Winfrey. Amen. Quit trying to follow all of your friends and all of the gossip and all of the opinions of this world and start living like Jesus says to live. Amen. He wasn't joking when he taught us how to live and love and put up with other people. Amen. Look at, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke, hey, I found this to be true. The yoke before I got saved, and I wore a yoke before I got saved, and you did too. That yoke was hard. But ever since I've been saved, it's much easier. It's not always a dream, but it is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light in comparison. Go to John chapter 8 now, in verse 31. And Jesus says very clearly, speaking to those people, verse 30, he says, John 8:30, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Amen. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye what? Now they believed on him. Amen. That's salvation. But now you need to what? Circle that word. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Then are you free indeed. Watch what he says. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You may be saved and free in heaven and free from your sinful record, but you're not free from your sins here on this earth until you start living in that book. Amen? See, some people want a magical experience to occur. They want that cigarette to just disappear out of their hand. Amen? They want that can of beer. They want those old friends to just leave them. And you know what I found out? They do. When you witness to them, invite them to church. When you write scripture verses on your cigarettes. Or why don't you just do this? Why don't you put your cigarettes in the battery acid, let them dry out, and then smoke them. Amen. You'll give up smoking real quick, or die, whichever one you want. If you're free, I wouldn't want to go back to it. I would do everything I can. You know, how old are you, John? Okay, if you're 25 years old and you just got saved and you're still sucking your thumb, you don't do that, I hope. He doesn't know if he does or not, I don't know. If you're still sucking your thumb, you know, at 25 years old, I'd find a way to, you know what they do to kids? They put some bad taste and stuff on the thumbs, you know? You know what? I'm using a silly illustration to say, if you're still doing stupid stuff, I'd find a way to stop me from doing it. Amen? You're waiting for God to come with lightning, remove your thumb. Don't wait for it. Amen? Fight. Wrestle so that you're not entangled again. Amen? There's a fight in this thing. And we got to go, it's a challenge and I want it. And he says, continue in his word. Some of you got so excited when you got saved. So you started reading your Bible, you started into discipleship, you started writing down notes from every sermon you heard, and then you started cooling off. And now you barely want to come to church. The Bible just doesn't have that zing for you. And you know, the Bible is your food. And if you thought about food just like you treat Bible, guess what you're going to do when you don't eat for days and weeks on end? You're gonna weaken and weaken, and you won't want to eat then. You know what you need? Food. Exercise. You need the Word of God. On the outside, you may look just fine, but on the inside, you're like a prune. All dried up because you're not reading your Bible. Get back into your Bible. Open that book at the breakfast table, and don't you leave the breakfast table until you finish at least a chapter. Amen. Before you go to bed, read your proverb. Today's the 25th of, or is it 26th? 26th of January. Read the chapter 26 for the day, the 26th day of the month. What are you going to say? You did that this morning already? Oh, 25th. It's not the 24th. 25th. See, we're both wrong. Amen. It's the 25th. Read the Proverbs 25 just before you go to bed. As a matter of fact, if you're married, read it with your wife. Read it with your kids. Do that. If you continue my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you understand? The fire of life will return. That glow and that the embers of the love of God will start to grow back in your life, folks. Drop the old yoke. Take on this new yoke. He goes on, I don't have time. He says right there, verse 33, then answered him, we be Abraham's seed, speaking of the Pharisees, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin and is comfortable with it, that's what he's saying, if you commit sin, you're the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. You're not going to be here forever. But the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. One last thing. What's the first thing you need to do if you want to break the barrier or put up a barrier? What's the first one? Huh? New ownership. Who is your owner? Who is the Lord of your life? Who's the one who can tell you, drop this, pick up that? Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, new discipleship. Amen. Third, some new fears. Go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 says, let us therefore what? Paul's including himself. Let us therefore fear. There's a healthy fear, amen? There are unhealthy fears, aren't there? But there's a healthy fear. You ought to have a healthy fear of standing in the middle of the highway, amen? Amen. There's a healthy fear. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest. There are too many Christians who can't sleep, who have no way of trusting God for tomorrow. The Bible says, I'm giving you rest and you won't take it. There's a promise for it. Lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You ought to fear coming short of what God has for you. It's good to be afraid of some things. You ought to fear being entangled again. You know what it's like when you were unsaved and you thought you had your life and you had no life. You thought you were free and you were in bondage. You thought you were having fun and you were throwing up every 3 hours. Amen? And you got the marks on your arm to show how much fun you had. Some of you have slits on the wrist because of how much fun you had. Some of you can't put thoughts in your mind together because of how much fun you used to have with the drugs. You remember that thing and you say, I don't want to be entangled again. You ought to fear it because guess what? You go back into that and I'll tell you this. You have to do a whole lot more to get the same buzz and it damages you much worse now that you're saved. Because you're God's child. You don't have just the results of sin in your life. You know what God does to a Christian who goes back into sin? He chastens them. Listen to the next word there in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, he scourges. You know what that word is? He takes a whip out. You can't enjoy sin now that you're saved, no matter how hard you try, and you come away hurting a whole lot more than you used to. You come away a whole lot more regretful, a whole lot more sorrowful, sad, beat up. You wonder, why? Because God's trying to stop you. Amen. Amen. Fear, being entangled again. You need to have a good, healthy fear of, I don't want to do that again. I didn't die then, but I might die now. You ought to fear missing God's perfect will. God's will for the children of Israel there in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 is talking about how Israel missed the will of God to get them into the promised land. And they missed it. They missed it by 40 years. That's a long time. How long are you going to run around in circles before God's finally able to get you where He wants you? The promised land is not heaven. The promised land is the will of God for your life. And believe me, there's a good fight there. But it's a great fight and it's a victorious fight. Joshua never lost one fight except one. And that was when he didn't seek God's help. All the other battles they won. A lot of people miss God's perfect will and they fear falling short of God's promised land for their life. Fear. If you're a Christian, you're controlled by any ungodly force. Let's just put it what it's called, an addiction. Six things you need to do. Number one, you need to settle your salvation. Because maybe if you're battling with sin in your life, you need to make sure that you're saved. Amen. Because there are plenty of people who think they're saved and they've never been born again. And they're trying to battle with sin when they never dealt with the Son, Jesus Christ. You see, your realization you're a sinner doesn't mean you take care of sin. When you realize you're a sinner, you better go to the Son and get born again. And then you can deal with the sin. Too many people say, oh, I got so much to fix in my life. Why don't you get His help? Amen? And you're doing it all without Him. So make sure you're saved. Amen? That's a good place to start. Do you have a time and a place where you bowed the knee and you realized there was a huge weight of sin debt on your back that was killing you? And it was your sin. You couldn't blame your mother. You couldn't blame your priest. You couldn't blame your kids. It was you. And you said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save my lost soul. That is a time you should remember. And if you can't remember it, I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to help you. You can settle it today. Today is a good day to get saved. You don't wait for a feeling. You wait for a fear. I'm going to go to hell. That's a good feeling. Amen. Secondly, you need to fear God and the result of your playing around with sin. You know, there are plenty of kids who watch all these Bruce Willis movies and they play around with these violent games, you know, and they pick up a gun. They don't realize the power of that gun. And sin is the exact same way. They see their buddies having a great time and falling and tripping over themselves, and they pick up a can. They go, this will be fun. It'll kill you. This little tablet, it's got an E on it. It'll just put some more zest in my dance. It'll kill you. As a Christian, you need to fear the result of playing. Well, I won't go too far. You know what? That's what everybody says. I won't go too far. Ladies, would you let your husband play around with sin? Especially if he promised you, well, I won't go too far. Amen. Think about it. And God looks down and He says, I don't want my children playing with sin either. Amen. Third, you need to saturate your mind and your heart with that book right there. If you spend more time, and I'm really serious, if you spend all your time in all the other books and you spend about 5 minutes in that book, I'm telling you, you're a waste. You need to spend some time where you saturate, like I gave you the illustration of that stupid toilet tube illustration. You put junk inside there, all the rubbish and trash. You wonder, how am I going to get, that's like your mind. How are you going to get all that stuff out? Start putting some clean stuff in there. And you start filling your mind with right stuff. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Bible says, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are lovely? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Shove it in there. And out the back go all the rubbish. Amen. You've got to put some time into getting to that book. You say, it's hard. Yeah. But it's worth it. Amen. You then need to do something where you yield to the Holy Spirit in your life. You can't yield without that book. I'm giving you step by step. You cannot pray, Holy Spirit, help me today. Help me get the victory over sin unless you given him the power to do it. And the power of the Holy Spirit is in the Bible. That's his sword. That's what he uses to free you from sin. Amen? So if you're not in the Bible, don't you dare waste your time asking God to make you free from some habitual sin or some control over your life, some demonic thought or some discouragement or some anger or some sin. If you're not in the Bible, the Holy Spirit can't help you. Amen? The book, then you yield the Holy Spirit. Go to James chapter 4. This is our last verse. Look at it two times. James chapter 4, verse 7. You need to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It says this. Chapter 4, verse 7, just a few pages to the right after Hebrews. Submit yourselves, therefore, to what? Let me give you a picture of the word submit. Are you ready? That's you. You have seen the Lord break you from the chains of whatever was enslaving you before you were saved. And whatever you're allowing to enslave you now, and you're saying, Lord, I am your servant. I never want to go anywhere else. I only want to be addicted. I only want to be dominated. I only want to be controlled by you, because you're the only one I can trust. You never abuse. You're not a tyrant. You actually care about me. You just don't want to use me. You love me. And you'll willingly submit yourself to God. And the last thing you'll be able to do is you'll be able to resist the devil. And what is the promise of the last part of verse 7? Resist the devil, and he might flee. Amen. I like that. That's what we want, isn't it? Amen. Amen. If you're not born again, you need to realize you have no life and no future. You say, is that serious? It's that serious. That's why Jesus said ye must be born again. If you've got unsaved loved ones, the truth is they must be born again. They don't need to just come to this church. I'm glad for anybody that comes to church, but come to church will not save you. But if they come to this church, they're going to hear what you hear like today, that they need to be born again. Sin will kill you. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is always death. I don't care if you mess with it for a little bit and you get away from it and you just dabble with it, it'll still kill you. And you don't have the strength to fix the sins in your life. That's why it says when we were without strength, Christ died for us. When we were ungodly, that's when he died for us. Amen. You don't have the strength to fix it. But too many people think, I've got everything under control. Are you stupid in any other area of your life? You can't have everything under control. You're just too proud to admit it. Only Jesus can save you. Amen. I like that phrase. We sing it. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Woo, we've heard the joyful sound. Only Jesus can save you. Not a church, not a prayer or a good deed. What if I just get back to doing it? No. Get to him. If you're not born again, you must allow Jesus to save you. He wants to save you. He died to save you, but he's got to have your permission. Well, of course I want to be saved. Do you really? His name is Lord, not just Jesus. You're bought with a price. Amen? A lot of people want fire insurance. They don't want a Savior. A lot of people want a girlfriend. They don't want a wife. Shame on you women where you only want to be, and I don't think there's anybody in this church, but shame on a woman who only wants to be used. And if you've ever been used, you know how God feels. Because he's prayed to only when he's needed. And the only people only want fire insurance. They don't want a relationship. Amen. We ask him to save you today. I did 28 years ago, and I never looked back. So have you ever doubted your salvation? I may be unusual. No, because when I got down on my knees at that kitchen table, and John Cranford laid it heavy over me, saying, you're going to hell, and there's no hope. And I cried out to Jesus Christ. I knew he heard me. And I knew I was forgiven because God said it. God's word says that a Christian is not fighting to become free, but we must fight to stay free. God uses the word stand fast. Dig in. I don't care if the enemy you're fighting is 400 times your size. Just dig in. Amen. We run about the blindest to our bondage. Many of you don't even realize how addicted you are to that television. You don't realize how addicted you are to laziness. You're addicted to food, or you're addicted to anger, addicted to depression. You're addicted to your friends. And you don't even realize it. We've learned about the blindness to our bondage. We've learned how heavy the burden is when we're enslaved. I could quote you all the statistics. Ireland is crumbling, folks. The money was a bubble. And everybody had this good feeling. Take away the bubble, and the reality sets in. There's nothing there. We need a rock, amen? We don't need a bubble. We learn how about breaking the bondage. And believe me, can you break the bondage you're in? Yes or no? Not at all. I don't care how saved you are, how lost you are. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. The breaking of bondage. And if you're going to build a barrier to bondage, you need new ownership. Well, the Lord has the right to tell you what to do and what not to do. New discipleship, where you learn what is right to do, how to do it, when to do it, when not to do it. You'll learn by the book. And then new fear, saying, I am not going back to that old mess. Because I know it'll probably kill me this time. Amen. Amen. Some of you have gotten away with sin, and you need to realize God may not let you get away with it next time. You need to have some good fear. Amen. Are you free, and how much is that freedom worth keeping? Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. My burden, Lord, is big. I don't know what to say, except, Lord, I've done my best, and I pray, God, that we would have emblazed across our heart Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I don't want to fall and fall and fall anymore. You made me free. I want to stay free. I can't lose my salvation, but I can lose just about everything else. And you didn't save me or anyone in this room to be a loser. We're more than conquerors, always through Him who loved us. So first of all, Lord, I ask You, please prick any heart in here that's living a lie. Unsaved, not born again, religious, but lost. Don't let them be like Agrippa. They have power, but they're only almost a Christian. They're not there yet, and they will spend eternity in hell. Not because they're bad, but because they never got saved. That's the only requirement. You must be born again. And then for the Christian, we got to want to be free from the entanglements of our old bondage. Or even any new bondage. We want to be free, and we want to stay free. And thankfully, You already have us free. I pray that we got some good truth this morning. I pray we dig in our heels and we say, I'm going to stand fast in Jesus' name. Amen.